1320 AM, W248DE, Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. We're expecting an announcement from the Trump administration today linking a common painkiller to autism. CBS's Natalie Brand at the White House.
The Washington Post has reported that today administration officials are expected to warn against the use of Tylenol by pregnant women unless they have a fever.
Studies have refuted a link. The Trump administration shut down a bribery probe into Border Czar Tom Homan. Correspondent Scott McFarlane.
The case indefinitely stalled soon after Trump became president. Homan, who also worked for Immigration and Customs Enforcement during Trump's first term, has denied any wrongdoing.
There's a court hearing in New Hampshire today for a suspect accused of killing a man while he was eating at a country club in Nashua. CBS's Lilia Luciano is there.
Police arrested the suspect, who previously worked at the country club in a nearby neighborhood, quickly after the shooting.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids home for the Todd Allball Show, weekday afternoons from 2 to 4.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Shali Pittman, filling in for Melissa Kay. Health experts are reminding folks about Chagas, or kissing bug disease. It's a potentially deadly condition spread through flat orange and black insects that feed on blood at night. And while their bites might go unnoticed, the bugs can carry parasites that infect both humans and animals and can lead to long-term heart and digestive problems if left untreated. Brian Simmons is an infection preventionist at Exemplify. He says some common symptoms and warning signs include fever and achiness.
And some people will get what's called a Romana sign, which is a swollen eyelid. One of the common areas where scratches could occur or infection is having some of that organism get into the eye or a cut near the eye or abrasion of that skin.
Simmons says there are ways to protect yourself.
From potentially being bitten by the kissing bug or being infected by that bug that might be leaving its waste on vegetables and so on, is to clean those raw vegetables. If you're out in the environment, to protect yourself from just like any bug bites.
Chagas has been identified in some states in the Midwest and South, though not Wisconsin yet. A recent report from the CDC says it should be considered endemic in the United States.
Most of these cases that we have seen within the United States in recent years have been occurring in the southern states, such as Texas, California, Arizona, and such.
Here in Wisconsin Rapids, there's a new municipal judge, Stephen Walczak, will fill the position through next April. The city council approved his appointment last week. There will be a special election in April. For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Shali Pittman. News anytime at WFHR.com or WIRI.FM.
Happy fall, y'all. Mostly cloudy today with highs hitting about 70 degrees with showers and thunderstorms. Some could be strong, bringing heavy rainfall, high winds, and some hail. As rain continues to roll through our night, patchy fog builds in after it and lingers through tomorrow morning. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 62 degrees.
Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day.
Sometimes I'm right, and I could be wrong. My own beliefs are in my song. A butcher, a banker, a drummer, and then makes no difference what group I'm in. I am everyday people.
Let's start the show. Time for hour two of your morning show here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, locally grown radio. Got your host James here, and we're joined by the gang. We'll have some more fun coming up in just the next hour. A lot of things lined up for you in this hour. But of course, at the top of the 10 o'clock, y'all know what that means. Oh, wait, no, sorry guys, sorry. But I'll explain why I just did that in a moment.
Tell me something good. Good morning and welcome to the Kitchens Open on WFHR, sponsored by the Hotel Mead. Experience the best of Wisconsin Rapids and stay with the Hotel Mead. Their friendly staff is here to ensure you have a memorable and enjoyable visit. It's football season, and while admittedly I am not much of a sports person, one of my favorite parts of live sports is the tailgating that happens in the parking lot before the game.
I have had some pretty fun times. I remember my favorite time of tailgating was for the All-Star Game in Milwaukee in 2002. We basically ended up spending a couple of days, you know, when you're waiting for stuff to happen, just hanging out in the parking lot. But we had, you know, all our stuff. We had our food with, and we had everything going, and we had our games and everything. That was a lot of fun. I mean, the whole experience was great, but I do remember specifically the tailgating on that one.
I was always impressed with NDSU. Out in North Dakota.
Oh my gosh, yes.
When I would go to their home football games, I mean, that's when where Carter Wentz went to school, and we were there while he was going to college.
Right.
And it's just a party out in the parking lot. I mean, general just party atmosphere out
outside
there.
The Fargo Dome. Yes.
I have not gotten to go tailgating before, but I have been to quite a few sporting events and know a little bit about it and certainly enjoy watching tailgating. And that's the whole reason I accidentally played the Playmakers theme song a bit there.
Yeah.
I got excited. We were going to talk sports and everything, but we're kind of talking about one of, I think, the things that brings us to sports.
Absolutely.
Beth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. For those of us who aren't there just about the game, it's all about the food, right?
Yeah.
And tailgating isn't just about that camaraderie. It's about the fans of the same team. It's about the food and drinks. Well, here in Wisconsin, the go-to is probably brats and beer.
Sure.
There are many other options that can make a tailgate experience stand out. Delish.com has an article that gives the best 83 tailgate food ideas.
Jeez.
And some are beyond what I ever experienced or expected. So how does chili stuffed cornbread sound?
Oh, that sounds fascinating.
Yes. So this has two phases to it, but it sounds like it is so worth the extra time, and it can really set you apart. So for the chili, your first step is going to be in a large bowl over medium heat. Heat a tablespoon of oil. It could be vegetable oil. It could be olive oil, whatever oil, neutral oil you want to use. Cook one small yellow onion, finely chopped, and one jalapeno. Now, this one's optional. If you like it spicier, use the jalapeno. If you don't, keep it out. But one jalapeno with the ribs and seeds removed, finely chopped, stirring occasionally until softened, which will be about 7 minutes. Add two cloves of garlic, finely chopped, and cook again, stirring until fragrant, about one more minute. The second step is to brown up that ground beef. You're going to have 1 pound of ground beef generously seasoned with salt and pepper. You're going to cook, breaking up that meat with a wooden spoon until browned, about 6 minutes. Drain any excess fat if needed. Add 1 tablespoon of chili seasoning, 1 teaspoon of cumin, and 1/2 teaspoon of garlic powder, and stir to combine that all. Add 2 tablespoons of potato paste and cook, stirring consistently until that whole paste turns brick red in color, about another minute. The third step is you're going to add all of your beans and tomato stuff, right? So add 1 can, which is about 15.5 ounces of pinto beans, drained and rinsed, 1 10-ounce can of diced tomatoes with mild green chilies, and 1 teaspoon of beef stock concentrate, such as Better Than Bouillon. So that little brick thing that you find, that's what you want to put in there.
That's what it's used for.
That's what it's used
now
for.
You know.
There you go. Bring to a simmer and cook, stirring occasionally until thickened, about 8 to 10 minutes. Season with salt if needed, and then let that cool slightly.
Right.
Because you're going to start making the cornbread now. The first step of that is to arrange a rack in the bottom third of the oven and preheat that oven to 375 degrees. Now, normally you hear 350, 375, so it's a little bit warmer. Place 1/2 cup, which is 1 stick of unsalted butter, in a 13x9 baking dish. Now, remember, if it calls for unsalted butter, you want to make sure that that's what you use because if it has salt in it, it's going to throw off the salting that you're doing with all of the other seasoning. So that's unsalted butter. Place the dish in a preheated oven to melt the butter in the oven.
Wow.
So that's a step that you normally don't think of, right? You would normally
that's
melt
really
the butter
cool.
and put it in there.
Mm-hmm.
But go ahead and do that, and that warms up the pan as well, so that kind of sets that bottom layer of the cornbread. So the second step is, in a large bowl, whisk 2 cups of all-purpose flour, 2 cups yellow cornmeal, 2 tablespoons granulated sugar, 4 teaspoons baking powder, 2 teaspoons kosher salt, and 1/2 teaspoon baking soda. Add 4 large eggs, beaten, and 3 cups buttermilk, and whisk to combine. It's okay if there are still some small lumps. Overmixing can lead to a dense cornbread. So let there be a few lumps rather than a dense cornbread. You're going to carefully pour and scrape the melted butter from the preheated baking dish into the batter and stir to combine. Mm. The third step is, pour about 2/3 of the batter into the bottom of the preheated dish, then sprinkle with 1 cup shredded cheddar cheese. Mm. Top with an even layer of the chili, leaving about 1/2 inch around the border. Sprinkle another cup of shredded cheddar cheese on top of that, and then top with the remaining cornbread batter and gently spread into an even layer. Bake that cornbread until the top is golden brown, about 25 minutes. Cover with foil and continue to bake until a tester inserted into the center comes out clean, similar to baking a cake. Mm-hmm. That's going to take another about 10 to 15 minutes more. Let it cool for at least 10 minutes, dollop with sour cream, and enjoy.
Mm. Wow. So I am not a fan of cornbread.
No, you are not.
But I love chili. And boy, this sounds awesome. I think the chili is going to outweigh the cornbread on this one, especially with the sour cream on top. Mm-hmm. That just totally blew me away.
This allows you to have the chili on a plate, because instead of a bowl, you don't have to have an extra container.
Use your hands. Chili. Just grab a hunk of the cornbread, you know, and just a piece, and just there you go.
Well, the chili may still pour out the cornbread,
but you know. We eat messy things at tailgating.
This is true.
Get your barbecue ribs.
I could see those two things going really good together, chili and cornbread. Mm-hmm. I love cornbread.
Yeah, so that sounded wonderful. But there's another dish on the list that puts two cultural favorites together into one tasty treat. Taco lasagna.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah. So think layers with all the goodies on top. And here's how you make it. The first step is to arrange a rack in the center of the oven, preheat to 350, and then in a large skillet over medium heat 1 tablespoon extra virgin olive oil. Add 1 yellow onion that's been finely chopped and season it with salt. Cook, stirring occasionally until softened, about 7 minutes, and then add 1.5 pounds ground beef and cook, stirring until brown, about 7 minutes. Drain the fat if desired. The second step is, you're going to add 2 garlic cloves that have been minced, 1 14.5 ounce can of fire roasted tomatoes, 3/4 cup water, 1/2 cup of sour cream, 2 teaspoons chili powder, 2 teaspoons ground cumin, and 1/4 teaspoon cayenne, and stir until combined. Cook, stirring until slightly thickened, about 5 minutes. And you're going to stir in then 1/4 cup of freshly chopped cilantro. So you're kind of getting that chili and taco season all together
right there. Yep.
So the third step is, in a 13x9 baking dish, spread 1 11-to-12 ounce bag of tortilla chips, preferably the restaurant style, those big ones, into an even layer. Top with 1/2 of the ground beef mixture, 1 cup of shredded cheddar cheese, and 1 cup of shredded pepper jack cheese. Repeat for a second layer. So next layer of those restaurant style tortilla chips, then this seasoning, and then you're going to repeat that, and then top it off with a little bit more cilantro. The fourth step is, you're going to bake that until the cheese is melted and the tortilla chips are softened, and that's going to take about 20 minutes. Let cool for 5 minutes before slicing.
Wow. That's not even that hard. That's a pretty simple dish to put together.
The hardest part is letting it cool for 5 minutes.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Oh, I want it so bad. Yes.
Yeah, that sounds, I want it right now.
So this is a different take on like nachos, right? You would eat each of it. This blends the chips into one layer like a lasagna noodle. So you eat it like lasagna.
I love that. Good. The crunch has got to be amazing.
Super Bowl party. That's what I'm going to try that one if you're not going to do any tailgating. Yeah.
Again, nothing that I would have thought of. And who would have thought of using Mexican, or what we have created as a Mexican dish, as a lasagna, which is very Italian.
Right.
So it's a great combination of the two.
Absolutely.
Okay, the next one I have, I might actually have to try at home because it's a take on one of my favorites from the East Coast. It's a Philadelphia cheesesteak pasta. I've never thought about doing this with pasta. We see the subs all the time, and I've had it on pizza or stromboli, but as pasta, I hadn't thought about. So this one, the first step is in a large stainless steel skillet over medium-high heat, heat 1 tablespoon of oil and swirl the pan to coat the bottom of the pan. In a large bowl, you're going to toss 1 pound skirt steak or ribeye, thinly sliced across the grain with 1 teaspoon Italian seasoning. And so it's kind of the same meat that you would have for a cheesesteak, but you're going to use it differently. So once you've done that, you are going to arrange that steak in a single layer in the skillet and cook undisturbed until the underside is browned, about 2 minutes. Stir and continue to cook, stirring occasionally until it's no longer pink in the middle. 1 to 2 more minutes. Transfer that steak then into a large bowl. The second step is you're going to reduce the heat to medium, and in that same skillet, so this is almost like a one skillet wonder kind of thing, you're going to cook 8 ounces of cremini or white mushrooms sliced, stirring occasionally until starting to brown. It's going to take about 8 to 10 minutes. Season it with a pinch of salt and then transfer to the bowl that has the steak in it. Your third step is in that same skillet over medium heat. Heat another tablespoon of that oil. Add 1 medium yellow onion thinly sliced, 1 green bell pepper, and 1 red bell pepper. Seeds and ribs removed, thinly sliced. Season with salt. You cook that, stirring frequently until those peppers are softened. That's going to take another 8 to 10 minutes. Add 4 cloves of chopped garlic and cook, stirring until fragrant, about 1 more minute, and then transfer that into the bowl with the mushrooms and the steak. You're going to increase the heat to medium high. Pour 3.5 cups low sodium beef broth, scraping any browned bits from the bottom of the pan. Stir in 1 cup of half and half and bring that to a simmer. Then you're going to add that 8 ounces of cavatappi pasta and in a single layer and return to a simmer. So it's kind of like starting to boil your pasta, but you're going to create it as a layer there instead.
Oh, okay.
Cook and cover, stirring occasionally until that pasta is al dente and the sauce is thickened. That's going to take about 10 to 12 minutes. Then you're going to stir in 6 ounces of shredded provolone until melted. Return the beef mixture to that skillet and toss until coated. And then serve.
Serve on pot. Wow.
That sounds good to you,
Beth? Sounds so good.
Oh, that sounds yummy. Yeah. That sounds yummy.
Like something definitely worth trying.
Yeah.
It is going to be a little bit more time consuming than just doing spaghetti or just doing a Philly cheesesteak, but it sounds like it's going to be so worth it. And adding that half and half to make that sauce creamy and taste more like that provolone, I'm salivating over here already.
Yeah, we're on the same page on that one, yes.
Woo.
So these are just a few of the many recipes I found, and I bet our listeners have some creative go-to tailgating recipes as well. So if you do have that recipe, why don't you consider submitting that to our 85th anniversary cookbook that we're putting together? Mm-hmm. You can find a link on our website at WFHR.com. Stop by the station to pick up a submission form, or even have Pam just make a copy of the recipe card, and we'll get it in there for you. So once again, I'd like to thank the Hotel Mead for sponsoring our segment. They're bright and spacious rooms with 9-foot ceilings offer a range of options from cozy king and queen bedrooms to expansive whirlpool and family suites. To book your stay, go to www.hotelmead.com. And with that, we'll close the kitchen.
Yeah. Oh, so good. Man, I'm hungry now.
Yeah, there's a bad bed at the Hotel Mead. Yeah. All great. All great.
Absolutely.
That website you mentioned, delish.com, shout out to them as well.
Yes.
The Snickers puppy chow I saw in there sounded really good. I hadn't thought of that before. I really like that. But
the sweet treats, yeah.
Something that I can recommend to all of our listeners, the football cookies. They seem very simple. They're just basically cookies that are made of footballs.
Yep. Perfect.
And we can eat them here very easily at the station. I don't know why I bring that up. I'm not sure why I'm bringing it up. No.
Anybody?
And I will put a link to that article into the newsletter article that I write this Thursday.
Excellent work as always, Beth. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We appreciate you. And thank you all for listening, and be listening every Monday right in the 10 o'clock, top of the 10 o'clock hour for another episode of The Kitchen's Open right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR. Tell me something.
Lakeland Care is proud to be named one of the top workplaces in Wisconsin for 2025. But what really sets us apart is our commitment to providing personalized support for frail elders and adults with disabilities. Our care teams go above and beyond to help our members live their best lives with dignity and independence. Interested in becoming a member? Visit your local Aging and Disability Resource Center to see if you qualify. To learn more, visit www.lakelandcareinc.com. Lakeland Care. Together, we build better lives.
Come out to support the Boys of Winter. Join in the excitement and the thrill of each Wisconsin Rapids River Kings home game. Come cheer on the team with your friends at 105.5 FM.
I'm the threat that's already inside the house. In the closet, under the bed, in the car. But I don't want your money or your TV. I can't be scared away or negotiated with. I'm patient and quiet. I don't sleep. You can't call the cops on me. You can't even see me. I'm the threat of family fire. And as long as your guns aren't stored securely, I'll be there. Protect your family. Secure all your guns. Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. That's endfamilyfire.org. A public service announcement brought to you by Brady and the Ad Council.
We want to thank our listeners for following the Rapid Support over to the podcast world. Your growing support for the show and your favorite guests, area nonprofits, is greatly appreciated.
We love getting the word out about the great things nonprofits do for the community. Special thanks to Crockett Septic for sponsoring this show as they continue to help us bring you great conversations.
Listen to the Rapid Support at WFHR.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Happy fall, y'all. Mostly cloudy today with highs hitting about 70 degrees with showers and thunderstorms. Some could be strong, bringing heavy rainfall, high winds, and some hail. Rain continues to roll through our night. Patchy fog builds in after it and lingers through tomorrow morning. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 62 degrees.
Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Got the gang together for a good morning show. We appreciate y'all joining us. Want to say a big appreciation to Beth in the Hotel Mead with another great edition of The Kitchen's Open.
Very good. Very tasty. I can almost taste it right now.
Oh, there are certain segments that make me hungrier than others. That one, man. That one really got me. I'm starving. That sounded really good. Thank you so much. Thank you, Beth. Great work. Great work, as always. We dive into some entertainment news. I want to talk a little bit about some in-house stuff as well in a moment. Mm-hmm. But we begin with Taylor Swift. Taylor Swift, the queen of marketing, is releasing a film in theaters to go along with her new album, The Life of a Showgirl. It's called Official Release Party of a Showgirl, and it's 89 minutes long. It'll be in theaters October 3rd through the 5th.
Wow.
Tickets are on sale already, and they are $12 each before fees, since, you know, it's her 12th album. So she's making it $12 each.
I guess that's not too out of line with most movie tickets. So it's about the same.
The film will include the world premiere of the music video for her new single, The Fate of Ophelia, plus behind-the-scenes footage of making of the album and a lyrical video.
Wow.
Taylor said, quote, looks like it's time to brush off the Eras tour outfit or orange cardigan. I don't know what I just said.
I don't know.
AMC theaters are welcoming Swifties to sing and dance. There's just no standing on seats or blocking the aisles.
Okay.
But
safety issues, yep.
Yeah. And I teasingly say, like they do in the article here, calling her the queen of marketing.
Right.
And I don't think that anybody outside of the Swiftie realm doesn't see this as, you know, a bit of a marketing move. Mm-hmm. And, you know, hey, I can sell a lot of albums. Why not sell even more this way? All of those things.
Right.
I've read a couple of different articles over the weekend about this and a number of different people. And it feels like a lot of people have agendas one way or the other when they're writing these all usually. Mm-hmm. But I'll say one thing I have not heard anybody say that I'll come out and say, and I could not be a farther from a Swiftie. I am appreciative of her in this regard, or her Eras Tour, movie she released or whatever. It's getting people to movie theaters. Mm-hmm. It's getting people to go to the movies.
Sure.
I am just thankful that people are still going to the movies. Mm-hmm. What they're seeing is up to them.
Yeah,
that's right.
A lot of people will talk a good game about wanting people to go to the movies, but then they want them to go see the movies they sure. want them to see. Mm-hmm. Sound familiar?
Yeah.
Sound a little like politics?
Well,
hey, you should vote. Oh, not for that person.
Right.
Hold on. Hold up here.
Right. No, I would say the same thing about her concerts. It's getting people into live music again. Mm-hmm. And I know she's not the only one, and there's a whole lot of people going to live music, and a lot of young people are going to live music. Mm-hmm. But for a lot of those young people, where did it start?
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And, like, I'd have to credit her to that. Because as cool as movies are, I'm so much more of a live music person. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of where I applaud her, honestly.
Right. Yeah. And she continued to do that. Is it just me? Or is being a pop star insanely complicated these days?
Boy, everything is.
I mean, you got to do, like, it's before, you know, you're a band, you get together, you sign your deal with the record company, and then mm-hmm. you go on tour. You know, sure. you release a single, an album, you go to promote it, you go on tour, you go to 100 cities, whatever, you know, it's a lot of work, mm-hmm. and you know, and you got to really get it out there and everything, but that's all you did.
Yeah.
Now, you have to make sure every social media platform is
all
covered,
updates.
You know, you got to do like a regular video, then you got to do a lyric video, you got to, you know, figure out, make all the streaming services have your music ready to go mm-hmm. at the right time. I mean, oh my gosh, yeah. It seems so complicated. Oh.
I know for me, one of the things that has, because I've thought about this with athletes a lot. When it comes to modern athletes and older athletes, the modern athlete has so much to do with nowadays that they never did back in the day. Mm-hmm. They also got a big paycheck.
Exactly.
Got a much bigger paycheck.
Right.
And I would love to ask former athletes, is it worth the trade-off? Mm-hmm. Hey, you're going to get generational changing wealth. Mm-hmm. Almost no matter what athlete you are, what round you're drafted, anything like that, the way that these things are, how much money is in sports, even your lowest paid athlete is making a pretty darn good paycheck nowadays.
Right.
In comparison to those in the workforce mm-hmm. is all I'm doing.
Right.
But you also, there's never been more landmines.
Yeah.
There's never been more opportunities for you to lose that money mm-hmm. and have nothing to do with sports, have nothing to do with your career or anything like that. And I'm not saying that this is a good or a bad thing. It's just the world we're in.
Sure.
I wonder if the trade-off is worth it to athletes. If you're an older athlete, I would trade nothing, because I hear older athletes talk about this a lot. You couldn't pay me to be around nowadays. I wouldn't know how to handle social media.
Sure.
I wouldn't have lasted 3 years in the league, some of those things
well,
and stuff.
And the other thing about athletes is you got to think of the age that they are when they're at their peak or
right.
whatever.
Right.
They're young.
Mm-hmm. And, it's and easy to forget sometimes how young they are.
As a formerly 20-year-old kid, we do dumb things when we're young.
Right.
And if we were young, dumb, and had money, yeah.
You're probably going to do dumber things just because
right.
you have access to more stuff,
exactly.
right?
Exactly. Yeah. Like, it's about grace, right? Showing grace.
Right. You can check that out soon, everybody. Be on the lookout for it.
Mm-hmm.
Suspending Jimmy Kimmel Live may have been the wrong move for Disney on many different reasons, especially on a financial one.
Yeah.
According to one report, the company's market value dropped $3.87 billion overnight.
Whoa. Yikes. Whoa.
It's billion with a B. There have been multiple calls for social media to boycott Disney and all of its mm-hmm. subscribers, including ABC, ESPN, Disney+, and Marvel. There is a number of different actors and different people who have come out of the woodworks and talked about this and everything.
Sure.
I try not to. One of the things that we really worked on this show, Carl and I, when we first were building it, is we wanted to be a non-divisive place. We wanted to be a place to go where you can get away from things, have some fun, talk about stuff. I'm not going to ask us not to do that with topics mm-hmm. anytime that I am any more than I'm going to. I set this up very open so that we can take things in any direction we want.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I will talk about that I would like to bring attention to that I would think that we could all get behind is the idea that the monopolizing that is going on with these companies.
Yes.
And how dangerous that is to mix that with government.
Mm-hmm.
And that government has its place, and mm-hmm. we are appreciative of
That's
it.
Right.
We do not want a lawless land. Mm-hmm. I don't, at least.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But one thing that we hold dearly in this country is freedom of speech. and the separation of church and state. These, and I'm using that as an overall thing, right, of basically the separation of money and government,
yeah,
or corporations and government. Mm-hmm. And I understand that in 2025, lines have been blurred like they've never been before.
Right.
But maybe I'm just old school. Maybe this is one of the few things I'm old school about, but I still believe in those mantras, in those key things. Mm-hmm. Freedom of speech.
Yep.
I still believe in separation of church and state, business and government. This is something I believe in. And when you see that all I got to do to mess with this one, because it used to be back in the day, you had 20,000 different newspapers.
Mm-hmm.
And sure, there was one guy that, like a Rockefeller, that owned a handful of them or what have you. But you could try to mess with the Rockefellers, but there was 30,000 other papers out, sure, there able to report on,
right,
things.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Now, all of these things are being owned by one conglomerate or this conglomerate. Mm-hmm. And so if I don't like what they're saying and I want to shut them up and I'm a wannabe dictator coward, all I got to do is just put my finger on one of them. All I got to do is say, hey, you want that? There is a gigantic deal, mm-hmm, that these companies I just mentioned are waiting to have happen between the NFL and ESPN. Mm-hmm. And in order for that to happen, well, the FCC has to okay it. So, mm-hmm, guess who's in charge of the FCC and all of these things?
Right.
Now, keep one other thing in mind. We've been doing this a long time, everybody. Mm-hmm. What president are we on? I mean, we've been doing this a while.
Yep.
When it comes to this, every single president we have ever had has taken so much heat. Has, mm-hmm, taken so much.
That's
the greatest,
right,
comedians of that era have come out at any low-hanging fruit about that president, about the leader of the free world, and made fun of them. And every single president has taken it in stride.
Because that's what it is.
Every,
that's part of the job.
Every single president has, mm-hmm, taken it in stride. Exactly the part of the point. Yes. I almost called you Melissa. I am so sorry.
It would be an honor.
I'm so sorry. But all of a sudden that changes?
Yeah.
Like that's cowardly behavior to me.
Yeah.
That's what Clinton. Think of the things that Clinton took, the heat, mm-hmm, that he took. Think,
right,
of Reagan in his last months, and they were making fun of him.
Mm-hmm.
On the Tonight Show, they were making fun of him. That Nancy was doing the words and all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like and nothing. I don't remember hearing Ronald Reagan all of a sudden deciding to cancel Johnny Carson.
Nope. Not even Nixon.
Right.
I mean, think about that. Take a step away,
yeah,
and regardless of your political beliefs, regardless,
seriously,
of where you land on things, and take a step back and look at where we are with that.
Mm-hmm.
Because regardless of how I feel about politics or anything else, I value freedom of speech more than few things in this country.
Right.
And it is being affected right now.
Yes, it is.
And that is not a political thing. That has no R or D in front of it.
It shouldn't,
that is not a rich
be
or
a
poor
political
thing. Well, I'm not going to let it be when I'm on mic.
Sure.
That's all I'm saying. To me, it is not. And to me, these are things that literally every single American can get behind and should be on the same page on.
Yeah.
Right.
I understand that we're not all going to root for the same sports team, that we all got a different taste and favorite bands and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to these key things I'm talking about, the separation of these things,
yeah,
and the value of freedom of speech, every single American, if you don't back that, I question how American you are.
Yeah.
Sure.
It's one of the bedrocks.
You can run around with all the American flags you want. If you don't believe in those things, you don't sound like an American
freedom
to me.
Freedom of speech is the whole thing.
That's
like,
right.
That's the whole thing.
Without it, what do we have?
It was first for a reason on the list of things,
yeah. Well,
you,
right,
know?
It is not, that number is not,
we're
surprising.
We're not joking about it.
It's not surprising to see how much,
no,
they lost.
I'm not surprised either, honestly.
And it'll be interesting to see where that story goes.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
We will take a quick time out. When we come back, we're going to get into a couple of local things, and including one of the things that we have to get into. What is something that you will show up early for? We're going to get into all of those things.
Tailgating.
No. It's a fun list. There you go. Coming up,
good answer,
on the morning show here at WFHR.
WFHR and WIRI News. I'm Shally Pittman, filling in for Melissa Kay. There's a push for some new laws farmers say could help diversify their income while keeping rural traditions alive. Terry Barr explains.
One proposal would allow farmers to again host up to 3 paying campers without a license. Lawmakers axed the rule in 2017. Supporters say it's needed now for extra income.
This would allow farms to allow people to put a tent up in a pasture and experience stargazing, stay overnight in the pasture, and have rustic camping, or bring in a self-contained trailer and park that on the farm when they're overnight for farm stays, pick up the eggs in the morning, have a farm breakfast.
Sheila Everhard is with the Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Association. She says they'll also be pushing for an exemption from Act 73. This newer law reclassifies wedding barns as public spaces, allowing just 6 events every year and requiring a liquor license. Lawmakers are expected to take action on both measures in October.
The Wisconsin State Patrol is teaming up with the Wisconsin Bus Association in an effort to encourage safe driving near buses, Isabella Nieto reports.
September 22nd through 26th is Operation Safe Stop Week, an annual education and enforcement week aimed at informing motorists about the dangers of passing a stopped school bus. Leading up to the week, the State School Bus Association works with its members to identify bus stops where illegal passing is common. The penalty for failing to stop for a school bus increased in 2024. Citations now cost $676.50 and 4 demerit points.
Isabella Nieto reporting. I'm Sholly Pittman for WIRI and WFHR News.
Some good news and bad news. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the good news is for a third year in a row, the Brewers headed into the playoffs as divisional champs. The bad news is it'll likely be without starting pitcher Brandon Woodruff, who suffered a lat strain in his upper back.
Obviously, it sucks. This is something that is a side effect of the surgery I had, and it's kind of terrible timing in that sense for, the team. The biggest goal for me was to finish the year healthy.
The crew in San Diego tonight against the Padres. College football, the Badgers now 2-1 after losing to Maryland 27-10 over the weekend. Wisconsin has their bye week followed by a trip to Ann Arbor to face number 19th ranked Michigan. NFL, the Packers stunned, losing 13-10 to the Browns in Cleveland on a last second field goal.
It's extremely disappointing to be in a position to win the game and to have the script totally flip on you. It's tough to deal with.
As head coach Matt LaFleur with sports, on Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Legendary director Martin Scorsese is 82 years old, but showing no signs of slowing down. Variety reports that the Oscar winner will direct an adaptation of What Happens at Night, a ghost story novel written by Peter Cameron that came out in 2023. The story follows an American couple who goes to a snowy, cold European city to adopt a child. The film has a couple of A-listers attached already in Leonardo DiCaprio and Jennifer Lawrence. Apple Films will oversee production. Actress Anne Hathaway had some choice words for the press, more specifically, the paparazzi. While filming The Devil Wears Prada 2 in New York City recently, the press got a little too aggressive for her liking. The Les Mis star told the Vultures to relax and back off because there were children on the set. Hathaway and Meryl Streep are both back for the sequel. The much-anticipated follow-up to The Devil Wears Prada hits theaters May 1st of 2026. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You've probably heard about investors who got in on the ground floor of a company that grew to be a huge success. But successful investing isn't about luck or genius. Instead, it's about building durability. Here are some suggestions. First, think long term. Most investors make their money over time, not overnight. You'll want a well-diversified portfolio of quality investments and plan to own them for the long term. Next, invest in quality. For stocks, quality is often measured by the steadiness of earnings and dividend growth over time. For bonds, one measure is an investment-grade credit rating with a relatively low risk of default. And finally, build a long-term strategy to provide a roadmap for your investment choices. You may want to make changes periodically, but do it for the right reasons, like changing goals or tolerance for risk.
This content was provided by Edward Jones for use by Clay Kanopi, your Wisconsin Rapids Edward Jones financial advisor, at 715-421-0958.
Timeout.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
It's game day every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 4 to 5 on 105.5 WIRI's Playmakers.
Do you believe in miracles?
Hit us in the numbers by calling up and join the conversation with your sports takes and feelings.
What the hell's going on out here?
We'll have James, Randy, Michael, and Seth bringing you local and state sports coverage that you won't hear anywhere else.
The Assumption Royals are going to win the state championship.
All thanks to our friends at Quality Plus Printing. Playmakers, we speak sports.
Get up, get out of here, and go!
Happy fall, y'all. Mostly cloudy today with highs hitting about 70 degrees with showers and thunderstorms. Some could be strong, bringing heavy rainfall, high winds, and some hail. As rain continues to roll through our night, patchy fog builds in after it and lingers through tomorrow morning. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 62 degrees.
Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Laura, Seth, and James hanging out with you. Thanks so much for hanging out with us. What will we show up early for? Do you guys know people who are just always late?
Yeah.
People just always late. Mm-hmm.
I'm the always early person. I'm a habitually early person, and I don't apologize for it anymore. I just kind of warn people.
I will be there early.
Does anybody else do this? When you have plans, especially on like an off day or something, do you find that a lot of your day is built getting ready for those plans? And so I tend to be a little early because of that, because I'm already running. I already got ready. I'm just sitting here. I might as well just go.
Right.
Like,
right.
I feel like that. I feel like I do that a lot.
Right.
Well, a new poll found the top things we'll show up early for. And this is an interesting list. If you're running early for work today, great. If it didn't make the list, that's okay too. A new poll looked at the events we're most likely to show up early for. Mm-hmm. And the number one is a job interview.
Sure.
Oh, that makes sense. You're already nervous. You know, you're already getting, you're full of energy. You know, you want to do the big thing there and you're getting ready. And like,
and you want to show a good front and be early.
That's right. You get in there early and then you sit down and wait for 15, 20 minutes and then it's all gone and you're just terrible interviewing.
Right. And now, this is all voluntary. People's bosses were not standing over them as they were voting on these things or anything. So I find it kind of cool and interesting that job interview showed up that high. Also speaks to work ethic, I think, and a lot of that.
Good impressions.
87% of us would try to get there at least a little early. At number two, concerts at 80%. Yep.
That was the other one that would have been my answer.
Wow.
It ranked first for arriving very early. So as far as being way earlier.
But
than
what are they considering early? Is it the headliner or...
Oh, I think they're talking like before the doors even open to let people in. I mean, partially if it, and it depends on the kind of concert, having worked many.
And it
many
depends
concerts.
On the tickets you got.
Right. If it's like an open floor, just like first come, first serve, then,
audience.
You know, people are going to get ready to get, so they want the best area to stand in or whatever. But if it's, you know, seated kind of thing,
it doesn't really matter as long as you're there before they start.
Depends on how much you want to drink, I guess.
If you want to go to YouGov.org, you can find the complete survey. It did not seem like they just broke this down very early, a little early, right on time, and so on. Mm. But they don't know. They don't give you an idea of what's very early, 10, 15 minutes.
Exactly.
I think that's a good point. I think that's something I would have liked to have seen in this.
Mm-hmm.
At number three, sporting events. 76% of us.
Sure.
Some of those people are tailgating, of course.
Of course. Yeah. Yeah, and that makes sense if you're going to, if you want to do it before the game, of course. So, get it over with.
Yes, yes. And also a great topic for the Kitchens Open. Great topic. Movies. 76% of us, most said just a little early for that one.
Just a little.
Now, this used to be mandatory for me. If I was going to the movies, I was getting there at least 10 minutes early because I was not going to miss a trailer.
Right. You didn't want to miss a preview because there was nowhere else to see them.
Exactly. And that's where you got to see the new trailers and everything before anybody else. So it was almost, to me, part of what I was paying my ticket for was getting to see those trailers.
Sure.
I genuinely saw that as the way of the world. This is the way. I just saw it that way for a very, very long time. I don't remember when this happened, but I remember going to the movies and being like, all right, trailers, all right. And then commercials.
Mm-hmm.
And then more commercials.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then more commercials. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, wait a minute here. I pay for the movie so I don't have to see commercials.
Right.
Like,
that's the idea, right?
Right, right. And as somebody who not only loves movies and loves going to movies, but somebody who wants to make his living making movies and being a part of them, I still say this is a failure on the movie industry and the entertainment industry. Mm-hmm. This should have never happened. We all know why they put commercials in there. Mm-hmm. it's to make a couple more bucks and everything because people aren't going to the movies like they used to. And whose fault is that? The movie industry.
Yep.
People and movie theaters. The movies. It is a mutual thing. It is not people's fault.
No, they alienated us.
So why are we suffering for it? Why do we... Name me, please, 715-424-2600 if you've ever wanted to watch commercials before a movie. If that's something you go to the movies for.
Right.
That would be wild.
Because now the trailers are out there everywhere. These movie companies can... You see them for 2 months. This Jordan Peele film, Him, I've seen that trailer 9 billion times now.
Yep.
Just watching YouTube. Like, all right. So these don't, that doesn't even mean what it used to. So where is the now?
Where's
I'm
the
almost
incentive?
On the opposite. Yep. If the movie starts at 7:05, I'm probably there at 7:03. Like I don't care about my seat. I don't care about any of that. It's better. I would rather have a worse seat than sit there for 20 minutes watching commercials.
Sure. Mm-hmm. You got to make time to get your popcorn though.
Good point. 5 minutes early.
You got to be 5 minutes early, so you've got time to get popcorn.
I've got a quick, easy fix for you on this one, James. It's called touch grass. Don't be online so much.
And, what's grass?
And this is I'm only half joking on this one because we everything's been brought home recent weeks kind of thing. Mm-hmm. How just super not good. Being online too much is
mm-hmm. sure.
We're seeing it like kind of real time right now mm-hmm. about the brain meltingness,
yeah,
for lack of a better term, of what's going on. So, give yourself a treat. Go to the movies without seeing the trailers beforehand.
Yeah.
It'll give
you a kind of thing, you know? And yeah, I mean, of course, I'm hoping that's the main reason you're going, right? But if you like that feeling, because I'm with you, James, I remember being that way. It's like, wow, you know, I'm at a movie, you know, it's not something we get to do very much. Mm-hmm. And we're here, and now we get to see previews, and it's really cool because we get to see what movies are coming out
and
all
these things.
Yeah, exactly. Give yourself that, man.
Yeah.
Don't be online so much.
Good point. And at number five on the list, weddings. 71% of us will show up early for that.
Wow.
You don't want to be walking in when the bride does. You
know? Well, I mean, if that's the limit, then yes, I'm also early to those.
That's one that if you a little early
depends
is fine.
On if you matter, if you care about the seating, I guess.
Yeah. If you don't want to sit. The last wedding I went to was outside.
Sure.
And it was a very warm, humid day. And, you know, we're all dressed up because it's a wedding.
Yeah, it's a wedding.
So it's like, we don't want to get there too early. Otherwise, we're going to be sitting in this for, you know, however long before the wedding actually starts. So. Yeah.
61% of us also said that they'd arrive early to church. 57% would arrive early for a date. Video calls, 57%. 55% like getting to restaurants a little bit early. The one thing we don't really like being early for is parties.
No, you know.
A third would get there early. 34% said right on time, and 31% said being fashionably late.
That is the one time that I will be on time.
No.
Is for a party.
I'm sorry. I love people who come to, and it's because they can't really help. They just end up being there earlier. Oh, I came early to help. You know, what do you need to do?
That's my mother.
Which I love. I love that. That
you
is
need
so
to
fun.
Meet my mom. You'd love her.
I love seeing it. These kind of things where the majority of people feel, and you see such high numbers on these things, 87%, 80%, some of that stuff. So many people are, you know, they're quick to this one, and it's such a universal thing. So many people show up early for these said things we have here. Mm-hmm. And as soon as I said parties, everybody agreed in one way or another and
to it.
So it's a complete opposite on that end, but it's just kind of one of these things we all just accept in society.
Yep.
Have you ever gone early for a part or gone to a party and noticed, hey, there's no other cars there yet, and then you drive around the block while we're talking back.
It depends on the host.
Okay,
right?
It was because of the host.
Yeah,
I did not want
exactly.
to be the only person there.
If you don't know the host like that, yeah, it's worth the drive around the block.
Yeah, it was not the kind of situation
I,
where you wanted to be alone.
I just
with
have
the
to
host.
Tell everyone I'm never early, I'm never late, I'm at precisely the right time.
All right, wizard.
Where I was going to say, thank you, Gandalf, for that one.
Yes.
Nice.
A wizard arrives precisely when he intends to.
That's right.
Yep. Very well done. Very well quoted. And, of course, very well done by our listeners, the best listeners in radio. You guys can constantly give me evidence so that I can go ahead and say that statement with a straight face every day. Mm-hmm. And we got a new one over the weekend here from one of our longtime listeners that we keep getting these poster cards from.
Postcards that he makes himself, by the way.
He makes postcards and sends them to us. Yeah. It's great.
We appreciate appreciate that one. And this one in particular shouted out our good friend Tim Hubbelt, the polka guy. The
polka guy. Nice.
It was his birthday, and he wished Tim a very polka happy birthday.
Yes. Awesome.
With some great puns and some great words.
Fantastic puns. Yes.
Really do appreciate whoever's writing
thank
these.
You thank very you very much.
Keep them up. Keep
and thank
them
you for listening.
Wow, yes. That looked like an old Hams box that
it
he took
does
that
look
from.
Like an old Hams box.
Not bad. That looks classic, cool. though. I hope it didn't ruin anything valuable.
Yeah. Feel free to reach out to us like that anytime, everybody. And of course, you can always use that Civic Media app as well. Keep that app handy because we've got our Go for the Green or Gold Text to Win multi-state contest going on thanks to our friends at Rapids Transmission and, of course, that's Civic true. Media and so many other great partners that we have out there. Mm-hmm. Taking a quick time out, come back and wrap up the show for a Monday morning show at WFHR.
Are unauthorized immigrants eligible for federal Medicaid coverage? No. Unauthorized immigrants are not eligible for traditional federally funded Medicaid health insurance and never have been. A 1996 law also requires most authorized immigrants to wait 5 years for eligibility. 14 states, not including Wisconsin, use state funds to cover unauthorized immigrants. President Trump has proposed cutting federal Medicaid funds to those states, which could drop 1.4 million people from health care coverage. In Wisconsin, Medicaid covers 1.28 million people at a cost of $12.1 billion. I'm Tricia Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Learn more at wisconsinwatch.org.
Retirement can be scary, but only if you're not prepared. That's why AARP created thisispretirement.org. Because unless you've already retired, you're in pretirement and you still have time to plan. Learn about retirement savings options, potential tax breaks, and how you can build savings over time. Visit thisispretirement.org for free resources to help you customize your action plan and feel the retirement fear disappear. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
This one goes out to the elder millennials. We're not as flashy as those other millennials and not as grungy as Gen X, but our music deserves another listen. Burn Before Listening features hits, no, we can't read a mama poker face. Deep cuts, the way it goes when you're a part of it. And some authentic cringe. This is how you remind. From 2000 to 2009, Burn Before Listening on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, Sundays at 9 p.m.
Happy fall, y'all. Mostly cloudy today with highs hitting about 70 degrees with showers and thunderstorms. Some could be strong, bringing heavy rainfall, high winds, and some hail. Rain continues to roll through our night. Patchy fog builds in after it and lingers through tomorrow morning. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 62 degrees.
Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Laura, Seth, and James hanging out with you. We hope you've had a great Monday out there and a great start to your Monday. Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. Mm-hmm. Got some local good things we want to touch on in our schedule here to get to. Let's go ahead and dive right in. Be sure to join us for a great edition of the Rapid Support. We got two great guests lined up for you today right at WFHR.com. Big thank you to everybody who supported the show, been listening. We appreciate you. Mm-hmm. Today, we're going to be talking with our friends from the Arts Council. Looking forward to that. We've got Sally and joining us for that, and Michael Moore is going to be calling in.
Yeah.
All right.
Michael is, of course, the lead of Willie and Family Live, a tribute to Willie Nelson. They are going to be performing October 9th right here in Rapids at the PAC. Mm-hmm. We're going to be talking to Michael and talking to Sally about this. Cannot wait. I got my questions all lined up.
All right.
Everything.
Perfect.
I'm looking forward to this. It's going to be fun. And then in part two today, we're going to be speaking to the Cranberry Growers Association. Grant Holly's going to join us.
Yeah, cool. Grant's a great guest.
Grant is a wonderful guest. Yeah, great talker, great guest. Mm-hmm. Looking forward to that. We say a gigantic shout out to our sponsors for the Rapid Support, Crockett Septic. We appreciate the gang over there. Buy local, support local, everybody.
Yeah.
Got an edition of Playmakers on the in store for you tonight. Be sure to join us over on our sister station 105.5 WIRI from 4 to 5. Randy Paul will be in with me, everybody.
All right. All right. Randy. Randy signing.
The return of Randy. looking forward to that. We got plenty to talk about. We'll be doing that and we'll be talking about it with you because it is our live sports call in show. Feel free to get your sports takes and feelings to us during Playmakers 4 to 5, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Thank you to Quality Post Printing for that.
Mm-hmm.
Laura, we got some a hero opportunity in town.
We sure do. For all the heroes amongst the listeners, the Community Blood Center is having a blood drive at the Wisconsin Rapids former East Junior High School at 311 Lincoln Street today from 2 p.m. to 7 p.m. You can schedule your appointment by calling 800-280-4102.
Excellent.
Yeah. And wanted to remind everybody that we are still collecting recipes for our WFHR cookbook.
Yes, we are. Yes, we are.
We're putting together an 85th edition here and everything. And I talked about this with the soul of this station. Our station manager, Chuck Gennaro, yesterday was talking with him about it. I'm like, Chuck, I want people to submit these recipes, but I want to also be able to tell them if you submit a recipe, you get a copy of the book.
That makes sense.
And we want to do that.
Yeah.
We're going to do that. Chuck liked the idea. You got the green light. Let's do that. So not only will you submit your recipe and immortalize these recipes, but you're also getting yourself an edition.
For every submission, you get a book.
Yeah.
For your submission. Thank you.
With its supposedly brilliant cover stuff.
Oh, it's going to be good.
Which I don't know. The buildup is almost too big at this point.
It's pretty good. It'll bring it home.
I'll give you a hint.
I'm a little skeptical.
It's a sandwich.
It's going to bring it home. It's going to be good. Submit those recipes to us, everybody. And thank you so much to everybody who already has. You can go to WFHR.com, sign up for our newsletter, and of course submit your recipes. We want them, and we want to celebrate this area. Thank you so much, everybody who has done so already.
Yeah.
Do want to remind our audience as well that Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater's fall season kicks off this week.
It's this week already.
Boy, doesn't it.
Wow, the time just flies when you're having fun or you're learning to get everything together, directing for the first time.
Yes. Or something.
Something like that.
All the things you just
said. On Golden Pond is premiering this week, everyone, starting on Thursday at 7 o'clock, then again on Friday at 7, and on Saturday on the 27th at 2 p.m. for a matinee, and then we're doing it all over again next week, the 2nd, the 3rd, and the 4th, once again Thursday and Friday at 7 o'clock, October 4th, to wrap things up at 2 o'clock, everyone. Come early. We do want you to come early for this, because there's always some good concessions there. And you can talk to the fabulous people that are part of Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater, and come take in a fantastic show. I don't want to put James in the spotlight or all, but when you get to this point, and when you're directing a show, it's very weird.
Yeah,
it's very weird, because you basically have done. I mean, few other things to wrap up the next couple of rehearsals as you get tech ready and everything combines to make the thing. But after that, then you just kind of sit back. And let the actors do their thing.
It's one of those things that I know the other side of it.
Right.
But I've never experienced this side of it, and I don't know what to do with myself in many ways.
Right.
But if I've done my job and everybody else has, there is not much for me to do.
Exactly.
So I'm actually kind of just running around looking for, hey, does anybody need me to help with anything? No. Because the actors are fine. They've got this. And all of our extra people, a part of these things, our props and our lighting and our
the backstage stuff. Yeah.
Everybody's working so hard on this and done such a great job and come together for it. One of the cool things that I have seen throughout this process is when an actor drops a line or struggles with the line, the other actor working so hard to help them. Mm-hmm. The way that we have been able to work with our lighting our people, our costume, our wonderful props department, all these different things coming together, that everybody's going to be able to look at this play and see a little bit of their fingerprints on it.
Absolutely.
And I know that this is a very popular show. This was a very popular movie. You ain't seen it like this, everybody.
That's right.
Nope.
Oh, it's going to be a good one.
It's always something new and different.
Get your tickets at wrctheater.org. wrctheater.org. We'll meet you there this Thursday for opening night. Oh, ooh. I'm so excited. I'm still hopeful that one of the actors will ask me to just take their part
over. No. We're not letting you do that, James.
I'm not letting you do that. I would make a great Billy Jr. I would make a very good 12-year-old. No, I wouldn't. Dude, I didn't even when everyone, I was 12. Even when I was 12, I didn't.
Nobody believed it.
No, I'm not that good of an actor. We do have some really good stories around we wanted to touch on, everybody. And a dad named Chase Harris posted a touching video on TikTok where he encouraged his 7-year-old son with spina bifida to use a walker and step off a curb. Chase told the media, quote, "We use the curb as a metaphor of us conquering an obstacle that could typically hold us back forever. It's basically a mountain that either we're going to get over or we're going to fall down."
And it's a very moving video. It's a very sweet
video. That's very cool.
Very cool.
And I'm just going to show you guys a little bit of it. It's not a very long video, but it's just a very sweet video. I watched it this morning 3 times.
There you go.
It's really good.
Oh, that is so cool.
It's a very sweet one. Yeah. Encourage you to find it out there, everybody. Mm-hmm. For everything we say about social media that can be, you know, a little bit low and everything, there's stories like this out there. Encourage you to check out. A 27-year-old woman from California named Diana Morales was driving for Uber when she made a lasting connection with a 92-year-old driver that after he'd ordered a ride to church one day last year. They exchanged numbers, and now she's basically his personal driver. Wherever he needs to ride, whenever he needs a ride to run his weekly errands, she picks him up. He even goes golfing with her family a couple of times every month.
Oh, that's cool.
Initially, he started paying her directly, but now she doesn't even charge him anymore.
Yeah, that's really sweet.
That is.
That's a great story.
A very cool story. That's a really cool one.
Fantastic stuff.
Very cool stuff. And one of the cool things I think that happens with when strangers run into each other, I will also use this as an opportunity to throw out their Meals on Wheels. Reach out to our ADRCCW, everybody, because that is another great opportunity for these kind of things to happen. And the lifetime relationships that you build and make through that are going to mean as much to the people receiving those meals as they will to you.
Absolutely.
And finally, a 17-year-old girl just became the first woman to reach Eagle Scout status in her area in New Mexico.
Yeah.
Her name is Gabriela Montoya, and her advice to other girls who hope to follow in her footsteps and earn Eagle Scout status is just take the leap.
There you go.
Take the leap.
Just do it. Yeah.
We have, I mentioned Billy Jr. earlier. We have a wonderful young actor, Maddie, who is playing that role. Mm-hmm. And that role is traditionally a boy's role. Maddie tried out for it because she thought, why not?
Mm-hmm. You know,
what's the worst that could happen and everything? And there she is now cast in the part.
Yes. And she had the right vibe.
Yeah, she did.
I was there at auditions.
You just never know. You never know what can happen. Mm-hmm. You got to take that leap. It's a it's a great bit of advice. Great show today, you two.
You too.
Have a great day, everybody.
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. President Trump says he'll make an announcement today on autism. The Washington Post says the administration will link Tylenol use during pregnancy to a risk of autism. CBS's Natalie Brand.
Medical experts are worried about confusion here and potential impacts to expecting mothers.
CBS's Olivia Gazis reports France is set to join a growing list of nations recognizing a Palestinian state. Israel's reacting.
Prime Minister Netanyahu issued a statement in which he called this enormous prize for Hamas and said that Israel would make a response after he gets back from the UN General Assembly to Israel this week. All he said about it, though, was to stand by.
A magnitude 4.3 earthquake in the San Francisco Bay Area. Veronica Macias with CBS News in Berkeley.
We've seen the notification from police here in Berkeley letting people know to take cover. There is the possibility here of aftershocks.
CBS News Brief. I'm Steve Kathan.